who's and what's and why's and wherefores. Here you'll find your whatnots and therefores. So come on along, let's find out what's going on. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what your taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news. And when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what you taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news.
Welcome to the Sweep Spot Podcast, the current events edition as of October 13th 2023.
Yay, thank you for joining us. Who are we?
We are the hosts of the number one Disneyland podcast, hosted by two former Disneyland Custodio cast members.
Number one.
We are also authors of the books Queenie of the Kingdom. We have two copies. We have two volumes.
There's only two copies left, everybody. No.
Tired. It's late. We have two volumes, and you can get those autographed on our website, Amazon on Autographed. You can get digital copies through Kindle and the audio books at Audible and wherever audiobooks are found. Also, if you want to join our Patreon, you can get some cool perks for $5 or more a month. You can get one bonus episode per month, and also once a month, join us in the current events chat room as we record, as you'll hear later in this episode. And that's $5 more, but if you don't care too much, but you just want to support us, I mean, every little bit helps, and we truly appreciate it. So even a dollar. Yes. I want to mention that a couple of things. I have a new podcast that I'm helping host, and we're doing it twice a month, and it's called Ears to the Kingdom. And it is with Annie, who's a travel planner at Concierge, and myself. We're both travel planners at Concierge. Mm-hmm. And the show is basically giving tips and tricks and just kind of overview of some of the Disney destinations that you might not be as familiar with. And we're also going to have trip reports on there. And we're going to be eventually talking to all the different travel planners at Concierge throughout the time. We got to work our way around, but it's fun, and they're shorter episodes. We try to keep them under an hour, maybe like 45 minutes to 30 minutes. So, So go on and look for Ears to the Kingdom. Ken, do you have anything you'd like to?
I want to say that, first of all, you are Lynn Barron, right? I think we covered that. You are Lynn Barron, and I am Ken Pellman. And so that might be handy when you go looking for our books or when you go looking for the other podcast that Lynn's a part of. Lynn's humble. He doesn't like to mention his name. So it's Lynn Barron. I'm Ken Pellman. I am not a co-host of another podcast, but if you want my voice work for something, sure, go ahead and contact me. I am on Twitter at Kenversations.
There you are.
You know, follow us on, by the way, follow us on Twitter. We're also on Instagram. Lynn and I, we have our own accounts on Twitter and Instagram, and we have a Facebook group for the Sweep Spot. But if you want to, I'm always happy to co-host a podcast too, and a special guest star, or do voice work. If you need someone to do voice work, I can do that too. But
I did want to mention real quick before we get started is that if you're looking to book a Disney vacation, this is the best time right now. There's a lot of good deals. They have the kids that we'll talk about later in the current events, the kids promotion at Disneyland, and they're booking up all the way through 2024. So if you want to do that, you can go to Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Alani, Adventures by Disney. You can contact me, even Disneyland Paris. So you can contact me, and we'll get that going. But now is a great time to do that. And anytime's a great time, but now especially. There's a lot of different promotions going on. And if you're flexible, we can work out something really good for you. So
I don't think I would book another. I mean, all the I've taken so many trips to Disney World over the years. I don't think I would book another one without going through concierge, and you know, you go straight to Lynn and do it, you know.
That's right.
So it does. Yeah, I could go on and on about that, but I won't.
Well, speaking of concierge, we're going to hear from Eric over at for the D180.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Concierge, and welcome to the D180. While Ken and Lynn cover all things Disneyland, in the D180, we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. We start our adventure this week in Walt Disney World, where some of our COVID-era restrictions are close to disappearing. Starting in January of 2024, we can park hop to our heart's content, much like the good old days. Gone will be the restriction of hopping only at 2 p.m. I know there's still a requirement to reserve your initial park for most days, but I can only do so much here. The Disney Company continues to make visiting Walt Disney World easier bit by bit. It's not perfect, but I still consider it a win. Let's head to one of those four parks, Disney's Animal Kingdom. There are plenty of fun places to eat in Animal Kingdom, but Disney is kicking their menus up a few notches. Harambe Market is always a great place to get a bite, but some of these new offerings look pretty amazing. New rice bowls include your choice of chicken, shrimp, or chicken and shrimp. Spiced tomato salad and tzatziki sauce make these dishes something you'll have to taste to believe. New salads and pitas are also available. If you're in the mood for a totally plant-based meal, Disney's chefs have some new options that include impossible proteins with similar spices for your pitas. I don't always eat at Harambe Market, but it's definitely on my list for the next trip. For your breakfast needs, look pretty much anywhere in the park and nab a stuffed pancake sandwich. This new treat features sausage, eggs, cheese, and your choice of with or without some guava. I'd opt for the sweet with the savory myself, but you know, it's up to you. Breakfast tachos, that's tater tot nachos, and more will jazz up your breakfast time. Tamu Tamu refreshments in Harambe will also start selling various Dole Whip treats with and without alcohol. I love a Dole Whip float, but add some hard cider to the mix and I might have a new favorite. But hey, let's head across the world to Hong Kong Disneyland, where the World of Frozen is about to open. Starting November 20th, you can enjoy this brand new land. Check out Frozen Ever After, a boat ride similar to the one in Epcot. The adventurous can also board Wandering Oaken's Sliding Sleighs for a roller coaster trip around the land. Hang on for some nautical delights for dinner at the Golden Crocus Inn, and satisfy that sweet tooth at the Northern Delights Chocolate Shop. Grab a quick snack at Carts Around the Land. It's all Frozen themed and there for your enjoyment. There are even multiple locations to meet up with Anna and Elsa around this Arendelle land. Pick up a few souvenirs, say yoo-hoo to Oaken, have a great meal, and ride some fun attractions. This new land in Hong Kong's Disneyland is sure to delight. And that's 180 seconds. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you would like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both the Sweep Spot and Concierge. Then reach out to Lynn, your personal travel planner. He looks forward to planning something special for you and your family. For Concierge, I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Looking to book a vacation to Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World Resort, Disney Cruise Line, Disney Alani, Disneyland Paris, Adventures by Disney, Universal Studios Hollywood, Universal Studios Orlando, then I can do that for you. If you contact me and we can talk about all the different options and dates, and we can kind of even make recommendations on which days might be the best for you to go. And also as a complimentary, when you book with us, we will book your dining for you if you'd like, special events. And we also, when we book a vacation for you. We just don't say have a good time after we book it for you. We are there every step of the way. We contact you before your trip to make sure everything's squared away. We even have a checklist to make sure that you have everything you need. Reservations, dining, all these different things. Your transportation, if you need help with that from the airport, any of those sort of things, we can help you with that too. We want to make the vacation the best it can be for you, because I know that vacations aren't cheap, and we can help you do that. So if you contact me, that's Lynn, and the email is lbarron@concierge.com. That's LBARRON at concierge.com. Or you can go to thesweepspot.com, and there's a link on our front page there. You can click on that, and there's information on how to contact me. But I'd love to talk to you and help you book the best vacation possible. Now we're going to have the current events. Ken, do you have anything for us?
Oh, Lynn, not really. Thank you for joining us, everybody. No, there's a lot going on, including mm-hmm. some late breaking news. You know, the Laughing Place reported Luke Manning had this from October 12th. Imagineers conduct one-day interactive droid play test at Disneyland's Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. And as it says here, Imagineers were on hand in Galaxy's Edge at Disneyland to conduct a play test with these interactive droids in training. And the Disney Parks X account, that's what formerly Twitter, shared a look at them in action. The droids have the ability to imitate artistic motion, and they can also emote and even learn to dance. Later on here it says, it seems that this was just a one-day playtest, but you never know, we may see the droids again in the future. What do you think about that, Lynn? Did you see the video?
Yeah, I did, and it's about time, right? Because didn't they say this when they announced Galaxy's Edge? They had said that there was going to be,
we expected droids and...
Right, and characters
you
and
know, things like that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty cool. I hope they, this looks, like you said, they're kind of just testing it, but I hope it's something that they do and do it often throughout the day and night,
Yeah. They should have droids. They should have music. They should have aliens walking around,
No, they really should. I mean, if they want it to be authentic to
genuine Star Wars. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's, we do have our Patreon supporters joining us in the chat. Mm-hmm. So, we will be interspersing their comments into our coverage here.
So, yes. Christine said the droids look so cute.
They do.
They do. Very much.
Yep. I'm looking forward to more of that.
Yes, I hope they do. Let's move on to the next story.
Okay.
This is from Laughing Place, and it says, new mural by artist Malika?
I was wondering that myself. Malika?
Something like that. Sorry. Favorite new mural artist coming to Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Work is continuing to move forward on Tiana's Bayou Adventure at both Magic Kingdom Park and Disneyland Park. Disney Parks blog shared a first look at a new mural created by Louisiana artist Malakia Favorite.
She's the favorite artist.
Is that her last name, Favorite?
Apparently.
Oh, it's unique.
What, you didn't know her?
No, no, I don't.
How dare you?
Now I
dare you.
Okay, so let's see. Moving on, Malachi's mural for Tiana's Bayou Adventure features scenes displayed on two of the building's exterior walls as you enter the indoor cube. Yeah. The highlights, the professional journey, and the creation of Tiana's foods.
All right. So they're kind of keeping us updated on what's going on, and they're showing us some of the artwork that's going to be incorporated into the attraction. People can, you know, with all these stories, they can click through at our website, thesweepspot.com, and they can see it for themselves and make their own decisions about it. So,
yeah.
You know, it's not done yet. I mean, they're in the process. So,
yeah. It'll be interesting to see when it's done. It's hard to, you know, they're reporting on every little thing, so it's hard to
right the whole process. Have they ever covered, I wonder if they've ever covered the process for designing a new attraction as much as they have for this, you know?
I don't think, maybe.
I mean, I know they've done retrospectives, but with a new attraction and going over all the details, like how they research things and who's, they're especially highlighting who is working on these things. You know? Yeah,
that's good.
So, yeah.
Very good. We have a couple comments. Well, we have one. It's not, John said, it's not an official Sweep Spot podcast until Lynn butchers a name. Thank you, John.
Well, to be fair, I didn't know that one either.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
John said, we watched The Princess and the Frog for the first time last week. It's a good movie. I mean, yeah, I'll stop there. It's a good movie. Well, I'm glad they're moving along. We're going to probably definitely get more updates soon.
They're definitely moving along, and that's a very good thing to say, Lynn, because it's time to be moving along right there out of,
that's right,
out of the previous attraction in that location. well, there's news out of Downtown Disney. And Valerie Lee reported at the Disney Parks blog, the official blog, four new dining options revealed for a new Parkside Market and more coming to Downtown Disney District.
Mm-hmm.
So as they say, plans are underway for Parkside Market, a new curated collection of diverse culinary concepts brought to life by Levy, with all four offerings under one roof as part of an expansion on the West End. And the West End is great with those West End girls and those East End, Eastern, yeah, never mind. Soul Sister, who I take it as a West End girl, is a fast casual modern eatery that will serve a Korean forward menu based on I'm gonna butcher something.
Good.
Bibimbap, which is Korean rice bowls with a California twist. Executive chef Kelly Kim will showcase bold Korean flavors through marinated meats, colorful vegetables, and savory sauces over rice, noodles, or salad, plus appetizers, an Asian-inspired breakfast menu, and handcrafted drinks. And then there's Sip and Saunder from founders Amanda Jane Thomas and Shanita Nicholas, is a Black women-owned brand that has been recognized as one of the best cafes in L.A. by the Los Angeles Times. Guests in the district can expect to enjoy Sip and Saunders' signature lattes, as well as fresh treats, frozen drinks, and Caribbean-inspired bites. Gigi's Chicken Shop from Boca Restaurant Group was founded by James Beard Award-winning restaurateurs Rob Katz and Kevin Boehm, alongside Michelin star chef Peter Lee Wolin, affectionately named after Wolin's mother, Sherry. The shop will serve a family-friendly menu of chicken sandwiches, salads, and classic dinner table sides. The first brick-and-mortar Gigi's Chicken Shop opened earlier this year in Chicago, and this new location in downtown Disney District will be its first on the West Coast. A second-story bar will be an alfresco spot offering great views to sip signature craft cocktails and mocktails. All right. And it says, it continues, later this year, downtown Disney will open a new stage and lawn for special events, activities, musical entertainment, and more on the west end of the district. In this brand new area, you'll also be able to see a soaring new sculptural tower designed by Nicholas Smith. This new tower will pay tribute to the sublime work of pioneering architects of color in Southern California during the mid-20th century, with unique geometric patterns in the sculpture, evoking the famed mid-century buildings they created. Future plans for the district also bring Ding Tai Fung, a world-renowned Chinese restaurant known for its soup dumplings and noodles, plus masterful Mexican cuisine by Michelin-starred chef Carlos Gaitan at Paseo and Centrico, or Centrico, I guess, and the popular California/Cuban cheese rolls and pastries to come from Porto's Bakery and Cafe. I'm getting hungry just reading about it. How about you, Lynn?
Yes, for sure. Sounds like a lot of neat, unique, you know, restaurants. We haven't had these type in downtown Disney, so that's good. I'm glad they're expanding more, but
yes,
this will probably be, I'm guessing it won't be until about a year from now, maybe.
So. Yeah, that's interesting that we don't have a definitive date. Check the chat room while I relate that micechat.com has coverage of that from Nathan Villamore. So if you prefer to get your coverage from MiceChat, you can do that as opposed to the official Disney Parks blog. Anyone in the chat room saying anything about it?
No, not really. not about the story. I guess people aren't that interested in
downtown Disney.
Yeah, we have a couple of stories coming up. I think we're going to get some more activity out of these.
Yeah, I like to put the new developments at the top of the list because, well, they're new developments, you know. But there is still some new development. I think you can talk about that.
Let's keep moving. We have a lot to talk about. This next article is from Brady McDonald, and it says, Disneyland theme park expansion conceptual maps indicate 16 rides and an outdoor show. Conceptual maps included in the 17,000 page environmental impact report released by Anaheim in mid-September for the proposed Disneyland Forward project show 16 rides and an outdoor show envisioned for the project. Disneyland has not announced any specific rides or attractions that might be part of the expansion. The actual number and the locations of attractions that may eventually be built as part of the expansion is always subject to change. The immersive theme park West Side expansion envisions a theme park on the Downtown Disney and Lilo and Stitch parking lots, woven amid the Disneyland Hotel and Paradise Pier Hotel, currently undergoing transformation into the Pixar Place Hotel. Maps of the West Side site, bounded by Catella Avenue, Walnut Street, and Magic Way, and Disneyland Drive, show plans for 5 thrill rides, 9 family rides, 2 round rides, and an outdoor show. The two outdoor thrill rides would be somewhere to Big Thunder Mountain and Credit Coaster, while the three indoor thrill rides would be like Star Tour or Star Wars, Rise of Resistance, or Space Mountain, according to the Disneyland Forward. Moving on here, it says the 16 rides and attractions proposed for the immersive theme park West Side expansion would be far fewer than the approximately 40 rides and attractions at Disneyland and 25 or so attractions at California Adventure. The West Side site links up with Downtown Disney near the former AMC Theater and shuttered ESPN Zone. Wow.
Yeah. Well, you said 17,000 page environmental impact report. Now, are we getting to the point where you're going to need to do an environmental impact report about the environmental impact report? You know, 17,000 pages, you know, you're going to have to do a preliminary report saying this is going to be 17,000 pages, but you know, if we keep it digital, then the impact on the environment will be minimal.
Yeah, can we get some cliff notes on this? Wow.
I heard the news coverage relating, I mean, in addition to this, because these stories will come out, you know, in the Orange County Register, and then the local TV and radio stations pick it up.
Right.
It's like, you know, they start taking it as gospel set in stone, you know, like, well, they're going to have 16 rides and they're going to be based on Frozen. And it's like, and I want to say, no, this is all about scoping and zoning and
environmental.
No, I mean, Imagineering might have all kinds of plans, but even if they do, they're all going to change before the first shovel, you know, I mean, I keep doing this. Go back to what Disney announced in the early 90s, and then what ended up happening with the you know, the second theme park and the hotels, and it's all different than, you know, the whole thing is different than what was talked about. This is about, you know, gee, we could fit 16 rides here, and you know, how would we protect the neighborhood with, you know, sound barriers and things like that. So it's not set in stone as to what's, you know, even the type of attraction, let alone the theming of it, you know.
Yeah, this is just examples, because they're trying to, like you said, they're trying to get the zoning and everything like that. We do have a couple
go ahead.
I'll say we do have a couple comments that so John was asking, so ESPN building and staying are going. Michael said, it looks like it's closed. And Michael Park said, I read the impact report last night. Slow in parts, but otherwise a fascinating look at the consequences of laying pavement.
It's slightly longer than our books.
Christine said, all sounds good, but it's far off if ever. True. Very true.
Yeah.
Maybe in our lifetime, right?
I mean, maybe Disney will own Paramount by then, you know?
Maybe. Patrick said 2 billion plus. Probably. If not more. John said a theme park dedicated to the movies that were Disney flops.
Sure. I don't care, as long as the attractions are good.
Yeah. I hope they can do this fairly, I mean, quicker than what we're thinking, because we've said this before, the demand is definitely there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The increased capacity would be very, very good, because obviously there's a high demand to visit Disney parks, you know. And
how much would a park hopper cost?
That's another thing, you know.
Right.
Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Park hopping is going to be, yeah. We'll get to that.
When we add more parks, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it would be, well, I'll say it right now, so I don't forget, that comparing it to Walt Disney World, you know, park hopping at the Disneyland Resort is very, very easy. You can just walk out the gate from Disneyland. And mm-hmm. if you want to go, I mean, if you're in Disneyland, you want to go to DCA, you walk out the gate of Disneyland, you take a few steps, and there's the entrance to DCA. It's not like at Walt Disney World where you can spend an hour getting from one park to the other. And, you know, and time is money.
Right.
And so, again, you would be able to park hop. Let's say they do a third theme park. You would be able to park hop, you know, pretty quickly for three parks at the Disneyland Resort and not so at Walt Disney World Resort. It takes time. So, yeah. Anyway, advantage Disneyland, I guess. But, yeah. Well, there's more Disneyland forward news. Tony Betty reported from at Laughing Place from an event, and the headline is Disneyland Forward Workshop attendees shown parking possibilities in potentially rezoned areas. And as it says, those attending the Disneyland Forward Workshop in the city of Anaheim were treated to a new piece of art as part of the proposal of what could be done with rezoned land near the Disneyland Resort. To recap, Disneyland Forward is an effort by Disney who, working with the city of Anaheim, has proposed, in the most simple terms, rezoning their existing property, which is currently zoned in separate districts for theme parks, hotels, and parking. The effort would mean the theme parks and their attractions, hotels, shopping, dining, and entertainment could all mix together in the zoning changes and zoning overlays for theme parks and parking. One of those zoning changes proposed would see an area east of Harbor Boulevard along Manchester Avenue receive a parking zoning overlay that would allow for the development of parking and for consistency with adjacent parking zoning. Those attending the workshop were shown a piece of art that showed what could be built in the area if it was rezoned. Another portion of the proposal includes a consideration for an agreement of at least one and up to three pedestrian bridges over Harbor Boulevard and up to two pedestrian bridges over Disneyland Drive. All right, so they're back to talking about bridges over the roads, you know.
Right. That was something that was shot down, what, 4 years ago or something like that? 5 years?
If they could do it, it would allow, you know, the more they can separate the pedestrians from the vehicle traffic, the better, I think. You know, it would help. It would help it, for safety purposes and for efficiency, I would say.
Yeah, I think, I mean, this is a lot of stuff, and it almost seems like the second phase, you know, when California Adventure opened and Downtown Disney and Grand California were all built, and the Esplanade was built a couple years before that, you know, that was like the first phase of, not really a phase, but the first part one of all this, and this would be a continuation, because they're always trying to improve you know, guest flow and safety and efficiency and all that. So
yeah well, it is, I mean, it has been an upgrade. I probably mentioned it on the program before. I marvel when I drive down Harbor Boulevard,
because
sometimes I drive that way for various reasons, and I marvel at the difference. You go back, you can find photographs of how it used to look back in the, you know, the early 90s, the 1980s, you know, and what it used to look like and how, compare it to now, and it's just, it's so much better now. You know, yeah, more corporate, you know, not as mom and pop as it used to be, but still just the overall aesthetic of the area,
right? Yeah. It could use some upgrading again, I guess, but it's been a while now. But yeah.
But now there was Mike Celestino at Laughing Place had an event recap for the environmental review workshop at at Anaheim City Hall. And it's Mike's recap, you know, his personal observations of it. And as he says, in addition to the Disney-owned land that would be rezoned as theme park space, Disney has proposed to make a number of other improvements to streets in the surrounding area, including new traffic lights, changes to lane configurations, and bike paths. Disney has also proposed closing off public automobile traffic to Magic Way, which runs from Walnut Street to Disneyland Drive south of the Mickey and Friends parking structure. So that's the road. It's a street that's between the Mickey and Friends and Pixar Pier Pals parking structure and the Disneyland mm-hmm. Hotel. It's that little street there. And they're right. basically Disney saying, why don't, you know, let's take that out of being a public road, you know, because we have the property on both sides of it. Why don't we just, you know,
right.
Yeah. The project would also add police and fire substations, while Disney would cost share sewer improvements along Catella Avenue to the south of the resort. During construction, regional air quality and greenhouse gas emissions would be unavoidably affected, though mitigation methods have been identified. And as he continues, he says, the company is not seeking any public funding or additional square footage. The final third of the meeting was designated for public comments, which was probably the most interesting part of the meeting. Yeah, if you've ever been to, you can, you know, if you've ever been to or watched online municipal or county, you know, county or city public meetings, there's public comments, those can get very interesting. That's all I'm going to say about that. We heard from members of the immediate Anaheim resort community, such as the owner of the Castle Inn and Suites, which was built along Harbor Boulevard in 1989, who gave his support to the project. He said Disney has been very forthcoming in addressing any concerns he's had about the changes. Most of the first half of the comments were very positive about Disneyland Forward, but then we started hearing some negatives. Some of the major issues brought up by members of the community include increased noise and traffic from the resort, speeding along Catella Avenue and Walnut Street, pay rates, and the lack of affordable housing for Disneyland Resort cast members who live in the area. And as there's a quote here, Anaheim was here decades before Disney came around, said one woman. We are not a company town. If Disneyland truly intended to give back to the residents, they would have already done it, end quote. A couple of commenters even went so far as to accuse commissioners of having received money from the Walt Disney Company during their campaigns, thereby causing a conflict of interest in their votes on the Disneyland Forward project. I would say the meeting ended with the majority of commenters in favor of the proposal, though the dissenters were very vocal in their opposition. Well, there's always going to be opposition. What do you think, Lynn?
No, that's interesting. Yeah, there's always going to be, like you said, people that are not for something or for something. I don't know. Some of this, I mean, the speeding, I mean, that's going to be there regardless if they do this or not. It's already there, right? But I don't know. I can see what they're saying about the pay rates and affordable housing for cast members, because otherwise you're bringing in people from further away, areas out, you know, San Bernardino, Riverside, to come work here. And that's, I don't know. Yeah. Let's see what the chat room has going on here. Crossing the street becomes a new thrill ride. that was, let's see. Yeah. Genie Plus required to activate crosswalk signals, from Michael Parks. let's see here. Christine, a pedestrian bridge would be better for traffic too. That is true. Build a bridge over to the new park and just call it an addition to DCA. I think that that was something that was said at one point, just expanding DCA more, because they really don't have as many attractions as Disneyland, and they charge the same amount. I thought Keith said, I thought the Castle Inn was older than 1989. Oh, Patrick, employee housing, like buying from the company store and using company housing that leads to lower. Okay, so true. So I think that, I mean, this is all speculation, right? Like you said, they're just trying to get approval and get the community behind them on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah, that's company housing. I mean, they could. What if they built where the Toy Story lot is? They can just build a bunch of cast member housing there. Now, but would cast members really like it? I mean, I think cast members want funding for housing, but they don't want the housing to be Disney controlled. You know.
Right, and I don't know if Disney has any control of that. That's not really, as far as affordable housing, if it's not something built by Disney, I don't think they really have control of that. That's something a city would have to, a county would have to do.
As an Anaheim resident and homeowner, I really, really like the tourist and convention money coming into the city. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the person saying that, A, Anaheim existed before Disneyland, and, you know, yes, it did. Yeah. I mean, it did exist, but, you know, there's no doubt that, I mean, all you have to do is just look at other areas to realize, you know, it just would have been basically a suburb of greater Los Angeles, you know. Anaheim's a substantial city. It's a large city with big population. It's got the baseball stadium. It's got the hockey, you know, arena.
Amtrak.
It's got business districts. You know, it's got manufacturing. You know, mm-hmm. And it's got a big mix of housing. I mean, you have some really, really affluent areas, and you have some not so affluent areas.
Yeah,
but you do have a really big mix of my own neighborhood. It's funny, my daughter was noticing it too. You know, you drive into our neighborhood, and on one side of the street there's a big patch of single family homes, right? Mm-hmm. And on the other side of the street there's like townhomes, apartments, even a mobile home place, you know. Whether you want to rent or own, there's a mix, you know, in just our little area. So, but yeah, Anaheim's got a lot of stuff in it. So, but let's be honest, you know, Disneyland is really why people around the world know Anaheim, mm-hmm. you know. So, doesn't mean you just, you know, let Disney do whatever they want, but it also, but you should encourage development, you know. Disney wants to increase their capacity, and they want people to come here and stay for a week. And yeah. I like that idea, you know.
Mm. Well, this is going to be an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
I definitely know we'll hear more about it in the future. Let's move on.
All right.
This is out of the Orange County Register by Brady McDonald. How Disneyland's Club 33 really got its name. It's not what you think. A new history of Disneyland written by the Historic Resources Group for the 17,000-page Disneyland Forward Environmental Impact Report offers new insights into the origins of the Club 33 name. The IER was paid for by Disney and released by the City of Anaheim. The number 33 came from the number of original sponsors or rides and attractions in the park. According to Historic Resources Group in Disneyland Florida, EIR, it was meant as a place where sponsors could conduct business lunches. Walt Disney created Club 33 as an elegant exclusive hangout for well-heeled VIPs. For decades, Club 33 was famously the only place that served alcohol in otherwise dry Disneyland. Members consisted mostly of Disneyland's corporate partners and local Orange County businessmen. The private fine dining club on the second story of New Orleans Square shared a commercial kitchen with Disney Family Apartment at 21 Royal Street, just above the Pirates of the Caribbean attraction. Walt Disney died in 1966 before the apartment was completed. Disneyland's 33 original corporate sponsors helped fund the construction of the Anaheim theme park in 1955 and the years that followed by attaching their company names to rides, attractions, shops, and restaurants. Disneyland bills Club 33 as exclusive, world-class, enshrouded in mystery. Club 33 was inspired by the VIP lounges Walt Disney experienced at the 1964 New York World's Fair, where It's a Small World, Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln first debuted. The private Disneyland Club opened in May 1967, a few months after Disney's death in December 1966. Club membership cost $25,000 to join, with $10,000 annual dues, according to Eater. The waiting list numbers in the hundreds and can take more than a decade to receive an invitation. Tom Hanks, Christina Aguilera, and Elton John, who all have professional Disney connections, are reportedly among the celebrity club members, according to Eater. All right.
Yeah. Well, and certain Disney legends are also members. This is all according to the report. How do we know the report is accurate?
I didn't know that, I had heard different things, but I thought it was just the address.
As the story says, that's the, we didn't read that part, but the, mm-hmm. but the address was determined by the club name. I've heard that before, that it was the corporate sponsors, you mm-hmm. know.
All right.
I don't know.
That makes sense that it was the club first, and then they put the addresses according to that.
I mean, I've been there 3 times now. So, I mean, not when I was working. Let's put it that way. I've been there many times. But I was
been there twice.
I've been there three times as a guest. So,
yeah. You mean you're not a member, Ken?
Well, if they don't raise the prices, it might be cheaper to be a member than to be a
than to park
be a key holder. No. You know, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Anyone in the chat room have anything to say about that?
Oh, yeah. Let's see here. John said, it's Club 33 because they would laugh at me for 33 minutes if I asked them if I could eat there. Yeah. Christine said her brother's been there. She hasn't... Michael said, you have to write a third book to become a member.
Oh, all right. Well, if that's all it takes,
then we'll do it.
We'll get right. Well, that, you know, that a third book would finance our membership, wouldn't it? I mean, we make so much money off those.
Yeah. But John said he's just going to tell him, but we're patrons of the Sweet Spot, sir.
That should get you right in. Yeah. That's better than having a pack of Mentos.
Yeah,
that gets you in everywhere. And just say, hey, you know, we are Patreon supporters of the Sweet Spot. Yeah, it works.
Who?
yeah, they might pretend not to know, but that's all part of the game. Well, in contrast to that, we go from Club 33 to an update on Measure A. Remember, I think we mentioned it on the podcast a couple times before.
Yeah.
I had to go to Ballotpedia to get the info because I wasn't finding it in my news sources. Anaheim, California, Measure A, minimum wage increase to hotel and event center workers. That was October 2023. The Anaheim Measure A was on the ballot as an initiative in Anaheim on October 3rd, 2023. It was defeated. A yes vote supported increasing the hourly minimum wage to $25 for hotel and event center workers, requiring overtime wages to hotel workers who exceeded workload limits, prohibiting mandatory overtime, requiring hotels and event centers to maintain most workers for at least 90 days after an ownership change, and ensuring that hotel workers are equipped with a personal electronic security device, a panic button. So,
yeah,
a no vote opposed increasing the hourly minimum wage, blah, blah, blah. And so anyway, so the yes voting was 33.73% and the no voting was 66.27%. There was, you know, we got our ballots. That was the only thing on the, it was a special election, right? And that was the only thing on the ballot was Measure A. So you either filled in yes or no.
Okay.
And it got defeated. I can tell you there were a lot of no signs in a lot of places around town leading up to the election. And there, you know, there are people who say, hey, I support all of those things for those workers, except I don't think it's the place of the city,
no,
or the voters of a city to say, we're gonna pick out a certain employers and say this is how you're gonna run your business, you know. No. If you want to raise the general minimum wage, you know, that's a different matter. But so I think there are people who actually support, say, you know, the worker should get all of this, but their union should negotiate that, or they should get it, you know, they should ask for it and get it. But I just don't think it's my place as a voter to go. And then, you know, and of course there's people, yeah, who's just oppose it in general and say, you know, no, I don't, you know, I think that's going to be bad. And there's the yes side, which wanted, you know, said the workers deserve this and it's a good thing for the workers, so let's support it. So there's more than one reason somebody would have voted no, and as you can see, you had two-thirds of the voting. You know, there were people going door to door on this, canvassing neighborhoods, and a lot of mailers and things like that. So
I don't know. I mean, I totally agree. It should not be the city making the companies pay what they, you know, let them work that out. Like you said, the unions, not saying they don't deserve it, but I don't think it should be up to the city to decide that.
And anybody who's a potential customer, you know, could talk to these hotels and say, hey, you know, I think you should, you know, I want to book with you. I want to stay with you, but I think you should pay more.
Right.
And of course there's nothing, absolutely nothing stopping you from leaving a tip. Mm-hmm. That's my new workaround. If you think somebody should be getting paid more, tip them yeah, big time. You know, there's nothing wrong with you giving them like an exorbitant tip if you think they should be getting paid more. And then it comes from you directly. It doesn't have to go through a bunch of different hands. Mm-hmm. And I will say, if you want to do that, for some jobs, people have to turn down tips, and not with housekeeping, you know, that tipping for that is can be customary. But for some jobs, people have to turn down tips a certain number of times before they accept them. They have to eventually accept them because, you know, you don't want to be rude. We had that when we worked at,
right.
You know, there were people who would say, who'd want to tip the sweepers, you know, because they would talk with you, you know, they'd get information out of you and then they wanted to give you a tip. Mm-hmm. What wasn't very common, but it did happen. And you're supposed to turn it down 3 times, you know, so.
No, can I give you a tip? No, can I give you a tip? No. So the, yeah, I remember cleaning a restroom. And someone wanted to give me a tip because I was in there cleaning at the time.
Yeah.
Seems appropriate. I don't know. That's a whole nother discussion on tipping. Seems like everyone wants a tip lately.
Yeah, yeah. All I did was turn this electronic device around to face you, and then it's asking you for a tip, you know.
Yeah, you go to Crumble Cookie and they Crumble Cookie and they want to know if you want to put a tip on there. I thought, well, all you did is hand me some cookies. So, you know, they get paid for that. That's part of their hourly thing.
But again, if you think they're not getting paid enough, you can, you know, that tipping is your opportunity to say, you know what? I don't think they pay these people enough. I'm going to give them a reward, you know.
True, and if everyone gave them a dollar, they'd retire. Wow. So let's see what's going on in the chat room.
And if you want to join the chat room, become a Patreon supporter of the Sweep Spot.
Well, they're talking about something else. Okay. So
that's fine. That's fine. That's they can totally talk about fine. Whatever they want to.
Yeah.
But don't make them stay on topic.
No.
They can start flirting. You know, I don't care.
It's not with you or me, right?
Not with us, but with each other.
Yeah.
We won't go too far on that, but
all right. Let's move on.
Talking about people getting big chunks of money.
Yeah. We have a lot still to talk about. Wow. We're almost in an hour in here. The OC register. Brady McDonald again. It says the biggest winners in the Disneyland Magic Key settlement aren't annual pass holders.
Hmm.
Oh, really? The biggest winners in the $9.5 million Magic Key class action lawsuit weren't Disneyland annual pass holders, but rather the plaintiff, the settlement administration firm, and the lawyers. Hmm. As a result of the class action suit, each of the 103,435 Dream Key annual pass holders will get $67.41.
$67. So enough to buy a churro.
Yeah, you can't even get in the park for that. You can park, though. You can park for that.
Still,
Two times. Okay. Magic Key pass holders will get about $7 million of the $9.5 million settlement. The other $2.5 million will go to fees related to the case. Magic Key pass holder and plaintiff Janelle Nielsen of Santa Clara County will get $5,000 75 times what each of the other key holders get as an incentive award for her time, effort, and service. The class action lawyers representing Nielsen are requesting $2.375 million, or 25% of the $9.5 million settlement.
Wow. They can go to Club 33. So why didn't I go to law school?
Yeah.
My dad's a lawyer, and I used to get that all the time when the people say, are you going to go to law school? So, this is the way it always is with class action lawsuits. Often the members of the class might get like $5 or something like that, but the lawyers involved get a big chunk of change. So, always the way it is with class actions.
Yeah. So she got $5,000 out of this.
She's supposedly getting $5,000, but the lawyers are getting millions.
Seems backwards. All right. That's the way it goes.
But that's
right?
That's the way it goes, though. That's the thing. Now, if you see, class action means many, many people are involved, usually. Mm-hmm. When it's just a single person, you know, it gets, when one person sues a company, you know, it depends on what the lawyer's fee is. The lawyer's going to get a significant part of whatever money they get. But if it's just one person, they don't have to split it up among, you know, thousands of people like it's going on here. So anyway, yeah.
All right.
I know more about, you know, who gets what from lawsuits than I want to. But yeah.
All right.
Well, still talking about money here. You know, there's kind of a running theme going on here. You can take that class action money, and Disneyland offers deep discounts on kids' tickets in early 2024. And this came out from Brittany McDonald at the Register on October 4th. Okay, that timing is very important. So October 4th, they said this, and Disneyland is launching a limited time kids' ticket offer good for early 2024 for children ages 3 to 9 years old. The special kids' ticket goes on sale starting October 24th. The deal offers tickets for as little as $50 per child per day that can be used January 8th through March 10th at Disneyland or DCA. The kids' deal is for 1, 2, or 3 day ticket packages, which likely means the 3 day pass will cost around $150. That's a significant savings over the current $270 2 day and $340 3 day one park per day tickets for kids offered on the Disneyland website. 1 day tickets for kids cost $104 to $179, according to the Disneyland website. The kids' deal tickets have no blockout dates and expire 13 days after the first day of use. That means you will have to use the multi-day tickets during a two-week window after your first visit. Reservations are required to use the kids' deal tickets. The official Disney Parks blog covered that as well. And of course, they have just, you know, a load of information. And they have, mm-hmm. this time they included tips on, you know, how to make the most of your day. And but you scroll all the way down to the story. Again, you can click through at thesweepspot.com, as all of these stories will be linked there in our current events section. But they have like so much legalese at the end. There's an asterisk, there's two asterisks, there's three asterisks, there's four asterisks, there's five asterisks. Yeah, so they want to cover all their bases. But I'm wondering if there's anything in the chat room that's worth noting.
No, I mean, they're talking about reservations and stuff. That's fine. Cool. Well,
but you know, Disney giveth, and Disney taketh away too. So, that leads into the next story.
Right. So let's move on. From Marla Jo Fisher over at the OC Register, it says Disney raises prices for most daily admission tickets and all annual passes. Disneyland raised prices nearly across the board effective today. That was October 11th for every type of ticket except the most basic day pass, which will remain $104 per day. The highest daily admission price, usually charged on the busiest days, increased 8.4% from $179 to $194 for a one park, 1 day pass. Prices also went up for Magic Key annual passes, parking, Genie Plus, Cut the Line benefits. Price hikes on regular daily tickets and multi-day passes vary from $5 to $65 depending on the offering. This represents increases 3.9% to 15.7%. Single day tickets for one park are priced according to their expected popularity with seven different pricing levels. The cost of a single day ticket remains at $104 for the least busy weekdays, but all others will cost visitors more. With the increase, daily admission prices will be $104, $119, $134, $154, $169, $184, and $194, depending on the day. There are, for the Magic Key annual passes, there are four levels of annual pass depending on blackout dates and perks. The new price structure increases from 3.1% for the priciest Inspire Pass to 21.5% of the mid-level Enchant Pass. Inspire Pass went from $1,649 up $50. The Believe Pass was $1,249, that went up $150. The Enchant Pass is $849, that went up $150. And the Imagine Pass, $499, that was up $50. Parking, it will now set you back $35 to park a passenger car at the theme parks, up $5 for most types of parking. Most hotel parking also went up $5. Downtown Disney is the only parking cost that remains unchanged at $10 for the first hour at a maximum of $66 for the day without validation. Genie Plus Cut the Line day passes now cost $30, up from $25 when bought in advance. Day of passes vary in cost. Two more rides, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway and Little Mermaid, will be added to the plan. The Park Hopper add-on, which allows visitors to visit both parks in the same day, increased for multi-day passes up $5 to $15 depending on the number of days. The single-day Park Hopper edition remains $65 with no price increase, so Park Hopper tickets will run $169 to $259 a day. And we also have articles relating to this from Mice Chat, Dusty Sage, and yeah. So, Ken, what do you think about all this?
Well, I think we can talk in depth about this on our bonus episode that our Patreon supporters get. So, you know, it happens on a fairly regular basis. The prices go up at Disney. I mean, it seems mind-boggling, but there you go. But they can do it. I mean, obviously, millions and millions of people are still going to the parks. I think people should take advantage of deals. I think they can find out the best deals by giving you a ring, you know, calling you. That doesn't mean sending him jewelry, okay? That's an old way of saying call in, you know. Email in, and you know, he can be our concierge person for this, so he can tell you how to get the most value out of your visit, because it's a substantial amount, and you know, there's some people who say good because I think it should thin out things at the park a little bit, and there's other people who say, oh, this is terrible, you know, and there's all these arguments on both sides, and I think we can get into those on a bonus episode. But
yeah, we'll definitely do that. The chat room is talking about, Christine said, luckily she just renewed her annual Magic Key. Yeah. Backside of Water next to be added to Lightning Lane.
But they, you know, they added, you know, they first announced the deal on the kids tickets, you know, to kind of soften the blow for this, because they go, well, you can get, you know, well, we already announced a special deal on the kids tickets. So, you know, that's,
and then they added mitigated. The two attractions, the lightning lanes are
we're just about to get into that.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're going to go into depth about this in the bonus episode. And so the ones that are in the chat room now will get to hear that. But if you want to hear that discussion, you can join the Patreon and get all these cool perks. It's very interesting, but it happens every year. But I think it was a big jump, especially for the magic key. I have the enchant key, and of course mine expires at the end of November, so I wasn't able to take advantage of that. So I don't know what I'm going to do next year. That is a pretty big hike for someone that doesn't live locally enough to go, but I need to look ahead and see how many times do I plan on going, because we do have D23 this, and then 2024, and there's a couple other things that I have planned. So I also have to do the math and see if it benefits me or not.
This is a substantial session of current events. We're covering a lot, so I just want to make sure that's not going to be a problem for our software, right?
Yeah, no, it's fine. Current events plus.
Okay. It's current events plus, right? Well, let's, Genie Plus going up and all that. I mean, that's Dusty Sage at Mice Chat did cover some changes that have been announced back on October 4th. They point out 180 day Disneyland reservation window that starting later this month, Disneyland ticket holders will be able to book reservations further in advance. You'll soon be able to peek into the reservation calendar and secure your theme park slots for dates up to a whopping 180 days in advance. It's currently 120 days. This change should make it easier to plan vacations further in advance without the fear that you are booking hotels and air without knowing if you'll be able to get into the parks. And again, I say check with Lynn. Genie Plus new attraction additions. Disneyland's Genie Plus service continues to evolve. Soon, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, yep, the one that Disney has been charging extra for as an individual lightning lane, and Ariel's Undersea Adventure, which generally doesn't have much of a wait and doesn't need lightning lane, will be added to the Genie Plus lineup. While it might be nice to have Runaway Railway join the Genie roster, we are baffled why Little Mermaid needs Lightning Lane, because Little Mermaid is it's a people eater. I mean, it's, an Omni Mover system, doesn't have much of a line.
Yeah.
Photo Pass lenses. Disneyland is extending the time you can use Photo Pass lenses. Genie Plus purchasers will be able to continue using the lenses for up to 45 days after purchasing Genie Plus, even if they are at home. And Magic Key Extras Unlocked. Magic Keys Extras Unlocked is coming soon. This new feature is being designed to make it easier to find all the perks of Magic Key ownership. Note that new sales for all Magic Key Pass types are paused at the moment, but Disney has confirmed that there will be more chances to purchase new Magic Key passes sprinkled throughout the year. So there's a lot going on. And I'm wondering if anything else from the chat room.
Yes. Christine said Little Mermaid's line isn't long enough. Michael said if Little Mermaid gets Lightning Lane, then Little Mermaid will suddenly need Lightning Lane.
watch them slow down the speed of the attraction permanently,
Well,
they'll slow it down to the load the disabled speed that my wife uses,
I think they're trying to add more so people also feel they're getting a good value for the money, especially since they just up the price, obviously. But what other attraction, and I want to hear the chat room, what other attraction besides Little Mermaid, if they needed to add one to DCA, what other one that doesn't have Lightning Lane could they use it for? Oh, John said, how about Golden Zephyr? Or he said it's next. It's Golden Zephyr's next. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, boy. In all seriousness, what attraction do you think? Because I can't think of one except maybe Mater's. I don't know.
Well, it makes me wonder with Mickey and Winnie's Runaway Railway, were not enough people paying the Lightning Lane to get that? You know, with the
probably not. The line moves pretty fairly quickly, and there's a lot to see in the queue that kind of.
So they might have figured, you know, if we stop Lightning Lane for that and just make it Genie Plus. Mm-hmm. And we raise the rate of Genie Plus, we can say, hey, we're raising, you know, the reason we're raising the cost of Genie Plus is because we've added attractions to it. Right. If they figured they would make more money that way. I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well.
It makes me think, by the way, the best explanation I heard is that most attractions have two lines. They have Standby Line and Lightning Lane. And Lightning Lane includes the paid Lightning Lane that you skip ahead. It's also mm-hmm. where people go back if they, on the Disneyland side, because DCA is all accommodating. But on the Disneyland side, there's certain attractions that they give you a later return time if you're disabled. And if you have a Genie Plus reservation for the attraction, you go over to the Lightning Lane entrance. Otherwise, everybody else uses standby. So,
mm-hmm.
But generally on the podcast, when we say Lightning Lane, we're talking about when you pay extra to skip the line. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I wanted to point out micechat.com has the very photo heavy updates they always have on the park in general. They have the Disneyland update called So Much New and a Little Bit of Boo Too. That was from Dusty Sage on October 2nd. And then Mike Kendrick had the October 9th update called Disneyland Update Reservation Riddles, Disney Dilemmas, Cool Construction, and Holiday Hints. So Mike Kendrick likes alliteration. And just click through, go to thesweepspot.com, go to current events, and you can click through to get those stories. Thanks to Russell. Lynn, is there anything else from the chat room, or do you want to bring us the refurb information?
Yeah, let's go right to the refurbs. So let's start off with Centennial Park returns October 30th. So they've been doing a little bit of construction over in Toontown. Yes, it's just opened months ago, but they're, you know, we talked about this past, they're kind of finding out that the foot traffic is a little heavier on some of the surfaces they put in there. So they're putting some pavers in there. We love pavers.
Oh, why don't I just put another popcorn wagon in there too?
Might as well. The Mark Twain Riverboat has no return date, which is interesting because the calendar went up until the day after Thanksgiving. And so
it's
closed indefinitely. Yeah,
closed indefinitely. Original Disneyland attraction that Walt, you know, enjoyed before the park opened is closed indefinitely.
Indefinitely. Yeah. Space Mountain is down, and that'll be back October 27th. It's a Small World is going down October 23rd, and that will return as it's a Small World holiday on November 10th.
Provided they don't have a mishap.
True. Goofy's How to Play Yard over in Toontown is down October 30th until November 10th. The Redwood Creek Challenge Trail goes down November 1st and will return the 10th of November. Now, this one's interesting. Astro Orbiter is down starting November 20th, and there's no return date yet on that one.
They don't do one day like Dumbo does?
No, not yet. I bet there'll be speculation. They're moving it up back to where the rockets were, you know, before.
that that would take a lot more work.
Oh yeah. Structural. Let's see what's going on in the chat room. Yeah.
I want to. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it says, Michael Park said, could Sweet Spot ever have a table or shared table at MouseCon? We could. I think we've been offered that once. There's the one in Bakersfield that looks more appealing, only because it's not as far for us, but that's still far.
Yeah. But
maybe. Current events would certainly be a wild ride if Behind the Magic was the news source. Oh, wow. Yeah. So, yeah, that's all we have for current events. And the, thank you, everyone, for joining us.
I want to thank our listeners for joining us once again. I want to thank our Patreon supporters, and especially the ones joining us in the chat room, for contributing to the program.
Yep.
Please share the word. Let people know how they can find the podcast, The Sweet Spot, and go to our website. We have links to our merchandise that you know, the great stuff that you want to see, shirts and mugs and all kinds of goodies that make great gifts. You know, the holiday season's coming up, folks. Great gifts for the theme park fan in your life. And let people know we're here. Join us. You know, we do current events every couple of weeks. We do the live chat room once a month. Mm-hmm. And the alternating episodes of the podcast are a topic. So our next topic will be on, we're going to do a deep look at the House of the Future, along with a little bit more. So that'll be good. You won't want to miss that. You know, just check out our archive and enjoy so many wonderful free episodes.